Hey guys, welcome back to Brooks Books. In this episode, I'll be reviewing Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus. And the featured author is W. Bruce Cameron. First day of winter break for me! Thank you guys so much for waiting again. I accidentally broke my microphone, so I was out of commission for a while. Since it's winter break, I will be releasing episodes randomly throughout the next 2 weeks. Also, ski season is here! Enough about me. Time for comments and emails. I got a comment on Apple Podcasts from Brinley A. Pasternak. Love the name. This person asked if I was a Sokeef or a Sofitz, and I will be answering that question on my Keeper of the Lost Cities episode, which, by the way, should be coming out soon. I just need it to be recorded. Also, this person mentioned 6 minutes being at the bottom of my podcast, and it is. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of my podcast until you can't scroll anymore, 6 minutes should be there, and I definitely recommend it. It's an audio drama, and it's really good. I love hearing from all of you, so make sure to send in your emails and comments. So, I guess it's time for the summary of Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus. Avon Green has definitely had it hard. Being born without arms is a challenge, but she's learned to manage. She can eat, zip up her pants, and brush her teeth with her feet. But after moving to a new town, no arms pretty much equals no friends. But then, she does make a friend. His name is Connor, and he has Tourette's. His sound that he makes is barks. Tourette's is when you make a repetitive sound or movement in some way, and you can't stop it or control it. Sure, Avon misses her hometown and her friends, but when she goes on a search for her biological mom, oh yeah, she's adopted, she finally feels at home. This book is amazing. I found it at my classroom library, and I loved it. It's a very diverse book and a must-read for every kid. It's even a battle of the books right now in 2022. Time for the author information. Dusty Bowling wrote this book, and she has also written a sequel to this book called Momentous Events in the Life of a Cactus. There's also a spin-off series that she wrote called the Avon Green series, but that series is a little easier reading. The books in that series are Avon Green's Sleuthing Machine, Avon Green Baking Machine, Avon Green Music Machine, and one more coming out on April 4th, 2023, called Avon Green Soccer Machine. I'm actually a little intrigued to read that one because I love playing soccer. She also wrote The Canyon's Edge, Across the Desert, 24 Hours in Nowhere, and another book coming out on August 15th, 2023, called Dust. She also has two young adult books called The Day We Met and The Boy Who Loved Me. Time for the first chapter. When I was a little kid, a kid pointed at me on the playground and shouted, "Her arms fell off!" and then ran away screaming in terror to his mom, who had to cuddle him on her lap and rub his head for like 10 minutes to get him to calm down. I think up until then, I hadn't thought about the idea that my arms must have actually fallen off at some point in my life. I never really thought about not having arms at all. My missing arms weren't an issue for me, or my parents. I never once heard either of them say, "Oh no, Avon can't possibly do that, because that's only for armed people," or, "Poor Avon is so helpless without arms," or, "Maybe Avon can do that one day, you know, if she ever grows some arms." They always said things like, "You'll have to do this differently from other people, but you can manage," and, "I know this is challenging, keep trying," and, "You're capable of anything, Avon." I never realized just how different I was until the day that horrible kid shouted about my arms having fallen off. For the first time, I found myself aware of my total armlessness, and I guess I felt like I was naked all of a sudden, so I too ran to my mom, and she scooped me up and carried me away from the park, allowing my tears and snot to soak her shirt. As she drove us home that day, I sat whimpering in my car seat and asked her what had happened to my arms and why they had fallen off. She told me they hadn't fallen off. I was just born like that. I asked her how I could get some new ones. She said I couldn't. I wailed in despair, and she told me to stop crying because having arms was totally overrated. I didn't know what overrated meant, at the time because, like I said, I was really little and so was my brain. I kind of figured it out over the next few days, though, because my parents were constantly saying things like, coloring this picture with my hands is okay, but if only I could color it with my feet like Avon. Now that would be fantastic. And eating spaghetti with my arms is just so boring. I wish I could eat it with my feet. And the only person I know who can pick their nose with their toes is Avon. She sure is a special little girl. Dad even went so far as to ask Mom if there were any arm removal services in the area. Growing up, I could do most things everyone else could do with arms. Eating cereal, brushing my teeth and hair, getting dressed, and yes, even wiping my own bottom. I know you're instantly wondering how I do it, and maybe I'll tell you later. Maybe. Until then, you'll just have to live in suspense. Sure, these things take longer for me. Sometimes they take a lot longer. Sometimes I have to use a special tool, like a hook or a strap or something like that. And every now and then I want to scream in frustration and kick a pillow until the stuffing comes out, because it's taken me 20 minutes to get my pants buttoned. But I can button my pants. I think I can do all these things because my parents have always encouraged me to figure things out on my own. Well, more like made me figure things out on my own. I suppose if they had always done everything for me, I would be helpless without them. But they didn't, and I'm not. And now that I'm 13 years old, I don't need much help with anything. True story. When I started kindergarten, the kids were a little weirded out by my lack of armage. I got asked just about every day what happened to my arms, as well as a billion other silly questions, like, how do you make a farting noise with your armpit when I don't have arms or hands or pits? And how do I play dress-up, which I tried showing them and ended up with a poofy pink tutu stuck around my head for about 5 minutes before the teacher finally noticed and helped me pull it down to my waist. I got so tired of telling them the same boring story about being born without arms that I started making stuff up. It was stinking hilarious. I knew from the first moment I told a girl my arms had burned off in a fire, I had found a great hobby, making up stories. I loved the way her eyes grew wide with shock and the way her voice went all high-pitched with excitement as she asked me a bunch more questions about my charred arms. Her, what kind of fire accident? Me, a wild forest fire, burning out of control. Her, where? Me, in the mountains of Tanzania. I honestly didn't know where Tanzania was or if it had any mountains. I think I heard the name in an episode of Scooby-Doo or something. Her, how old were you? Me. Just a helpless baby. My mom barely rescued me in time. She pulled me out from the burning crib and raced out of our flaming village, leaving a trail of fire all the way down the mountain as my arms burned to a crisp. They looked like two pieces of bacon by the time we got to the village hospital. Another kid standing nearby. Cooked or uncooked? So I kind of traumatized her and had to have a meeting with my parents and the teacher later about my story. My parents squinted their eyes and pursed their lips and nodded their heads as the teacher told them, Avon told another child that her arms burned off in a wildfire in the mountains of Tanzania. She peered at them over her glasses, frowning. She also mentioned something about bacon. I had never seen such a serious look on my parents' faces before. Like they were concentrating so hard on being serious, their heads might explode if they blinked. They said, seriously, they would talk to me about it and shook the teacher's hand seriously and gave me a serious look as we walked seriously out of school. But I could tell they weren't mad because all the way home, one of them would softly snort. And then the other would giggle and then the other would shake from laughing but trying not to laugh out loud. And on like that, all the way home. They later told me just to be truthful so I didn't upset any other kids. And I did for a long time. But then one day, in fifth grade, we had a new kid come to our school. I had gone to the same school since kindergarten, so all my friends knew I was just born with no arms. When I sat down at lunch with this kid, he said, "Whoa, what happened to your arms?" All my friends were looking at me. And what can I say? It exploded at me like an overfilled water balloon. I told him this crazy story about how I had rescued a puppy that had been tied to the train tracks just in time before a train nearly ran it over. Just in time for the puppy. But not for my poor flattened arms. You should have seen the look on this kid's face. Priceless. My best friend Emily burst out laughing, and my friend Kayla spit chocolate milk across the table. The new kid realized it was a joke and started laughing too. Pretty soon everyone was constantly asking me, "Hey Avon, where'd your arms go?" And I would have a new story to tell. Over time, my stories got more and more ridiculous. Alligator wrestling in the Everglades in Florida, freak roller coaster accidents, skydiving trips gone wrong. I made my stories as ridiculous as possible so people would know I was always joking. I grew up with those kids. I never felt out of place or anything like that. My armlessness wasn't strange or weird to them because, like I said, I had always gone to the same school. I never imagined my parents would make me leave. I never thought they would make me move all the way to Arizona and go to a new school right after starting 8th grade. Then again, I never imagined I would save the Old West, perform for an audience in the desert, and solve a mystery. You'd be surprised at all I'm capable of, though. You'd be surprised of all I'm capable of, though, even without arms. In the summary, I made it seem like Avon was just a quiet, boring person, but she's a really spunky, talkative girl. This book was really fun to read, and I loved the book also because of the characters and the way it was written. Avon's a great protagonist. Before we go on to the featured author, I have a new section on Brooks Books, inspired by another great book review podcast called Hook of a Book, and the series review podcast called The Cautions. Basically, I'm going to point out if there's anything inappropriate or what to watch out for when reading. In Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus, there is absolutely nothing inappropriate. But Avon is adopted, so they do talk about stuff like adoption, so I would recommend this book to mature 8-year-olds and up. Time for the featured author, W. Bruce Cameron! He's definitely written the saddest books in the world, in my opinion. I read his book A Dog's Purpose and almost cried. But if you usually cry during sad books, you would definitely cry out through the entire book. He's also written 2 sequels to A Dog's Purpose called A Dog's Journey, which I just finished, and A Dog's Promise, that I also just finished. He's also written books that are not connected to the series, like A Dog's Way Home, The Dogs of Christmas, and Lily to the Rescue. He's also wrote short stories for all the lives that Bailey the dog goes through in the Dog's Purpose series. Cameron was born in Prairie Village, Michigan, and he is married to Catherine Michon. I believe that's how you say her last name. His parents are Chase and Georgia Lee Cameron, and he has no siblings. He also has a dog named Tucker. Time for the fun facts. His wife is his co-writing partner for a movie they made together. He was inspired to write A Dog's Purpose because his girlfriend, Catherine Michon, had just lost her first dog and was super upset, so he wrote a story to help heal her. She loved it so much, and the story helped her get another dog, and she even loved it so much she decided to marry him. Cameron has 30 best-selling books, and they have been translated into more than 50 languages. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you next week or some random day that you won't expect an episode for my next episode. Make sure to email me at brooksbooks13@gmail.com for book recommendations, most importantly, and also if you want a shout-out. Keep on reading! Bye!